All right. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. We got some people already in for Winter Bible. I saw some last night, saw some more today, and it's going to be good. I've been at the computer all day today. Lynette's been at it. Well, I was at it some yesterday, about all day today, and Lynette's been on it the last 3 days getting her stuff together. I still got three more to go, I think. I don't know. When you got 8 sermons to preach in 1 week, starting with that, with Sunday, I have to be careful. And I got tonight, counting tonight, and I have to be careful that I don't pull. Some of you guys that are speakers know what I'm talking about. You start preaching and you pull stuff in from your other messages if you're not careful. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I'll try to stay on track tonight. You know what? There is something that sometimes I don't think people realize it, is that God will bless what you don't let the devil destroy. And somebody said, well, I don't know about it. Yeah, the devil will destroy anything because that's what he said. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. You're the one that keeps him from destroying it. And what you keep him from destroying, God blesses. Hello, come on now. Don't look at me like I think I'm dumb or something. He wants to steal from you. He wants to destroy you. Now, 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, and I guess I'll wait till you turn there. I'm learning to wait. You know, I've cut and pasted it already. I got it right here. In fact, I got another translation I'm going to read too. So, you that have got your devices, I'm going to read the Message Bible next. Right now, I'm going to read from New King James. All right. Okay. The people on the front have found it, so everybody else should have. All right. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now the Message talks it like we talk today. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce. You know, when I read that, I was watching something on the Animal Channel the other night. And they were showing this lion, and it was creeping up on a prey, and then it sat down just like this, and it was poised, and it was waiting for that prey to get one or two steps closer, and then it just goes, choo! And that's all it was to it. You know, and that's what we need to get a picture of. The devil is sitting ready, poised and ready to pounce. And would like nothing better than to catch us napping or not ready. You know, playing football, the coach always told us, now I don't want to tell them nowadays, but some of you have heard this. The coach said, be ready to be hit and be ready to hit until you get back and in the huddle. There are more people that are injured playing football after the referee blows his whistle because they relax and somebody hits them. How many of you football players know what I'm talking about? He said, don't relax until you get in the huddle. Be looking ready to be hit and or to hit somebody. When you're playing football, if you see somebody fixed and hit you, you become the hitter. Don't let them. You become the hitter. Get that shoulder down and pop back, and it don't hurt half as bad. Especially if you're running with the ball like I used to. I mean, I see a guy fixing to hit me, man. I'm going to accelerate, try to get down and hit him first, because if I can hit him first before he hits me, I got the upper hand. You see, the devil would like nothing better than to catch us off guard. Catch us when we're not ready. It says, keep up your guard. You're not the only ones plagued in these hard times. Now, you know, that's one of the devil's greatest tricks is to tell you, hey, you're the only one. Excuse my Texas talk, but there ain't nobody else that's going through stuff like you got to. Ain't no use to talk to nobody else. Nobody else is going through what you're going through. And right here, Peter plainly says, you're not the only ones plagued in hard times. It's the same with Christians everywhere, or all over the world, it says here. So keep a firm grip on your faith. You know, how many of you have ever faced situations and trials, troubles, tribulations, and the enemy jump on your shoulder and start talking to you and say, you know, you're the only one that's ever faced this. Anybody got that? That's one of his favorite tricks, because if he can get you listening to him in that area, then he can defeat you. You know, so how do we deal with him? Well, I want to just give you a few facts. Of course, number one, we already know he's our enemy, but you got to know who your enemies are. You got to know, and you got to realize that the devil is always, the enemy is always offering something up that looks good, but it's not. It's a trap. And, of course, here I go again. I'm getting in some of my teaching that I'm going to do this next week. But in this last time, we have people that the enemy is using to teach things that gets people away from the real Word of God and the truth of God's Word. And I don't need to say no more, because I'm going to get off on what I'm teaching about. You know, you can, on your device there, you can play a game. You can go into some places and they have the video games. Hey, this is not no video game we're playing. You can't stop when you want to. This is for real. The only way to get out of this game is die and go to heaven. And see, heaven, I should have said, you know, down home where I come from, I say heaven. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got three people raised their hand. Thank God. I got three people that know what I'm saying. Anyway. That's the only way we're going to get out of this game. Life is not a game. This is real. And the enemy wants to destroy you. And there are real life consequences when we don't walk in line with the Word of God. You know, some people, they just don't get serious about dealing with the enemy. You know, it's sort of like people that own, I mean, I played on football teams, basketball teams, baseball teams. And you got some guys, they're not serious about the game. They just won't be on the team. Any of y'all played with guys like that? They just won't be on the team. They don't care whether they ever even get in the game or not. They just won't be on the team. Had one guy, he said, I just won't play enough. I don't care if I play all the games. I just won't play enough to get a letter jacket. Back when I was going to school, say, if you had a letter jacket, I mean, you, it's a big deal walk around the campus with the letter jacket on. Then when you got a girlfriend, she wore your letter jacket, you know. How many of you know what I'm talking about? See, you young people, y'all don't know nothing about this stuff, so, yeah. We got to get serious and be self-controlled and be alert at all times, realizing the enemy wants to destroy us. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what he set out to do. See, why does he want to destroy you? Because he wants to destroy anything that has to do with God. He tried to overthrow God and God kicked him out. And now he wants to destroy anything that has to do with God. Oh, I'm going to get over on that. I better quit. I'm getting what I was writing down on one of the other sermons. Okay. You know, be diligent in walking with the things of God. You know, you got to build your spiritual house with the word and prayer, where it'll be, have strength to it. Got to, you know, the Bible talks about the people built their house on the sand and the wind came and it got destroyed, but the guy built it on foundation, his house. Sort of reminds me that anybody ever had heard that little old story that the three pigs and the big bad wolf. How many of y'all heard that story? Well, that's about half of the congregation. So the Bible said, let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But in the story with the three pigs with the big old bad wolf, they built their houses. One of them built it out of sticks and straws and some old stuff. And the wolf come down and said, I'm going to get you. I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. And he did it to the second. And so when he did it, that little pig, he run to his buddy's house. And then they huffed and puffed and blew the house down. So they run to the other one. And the old wolf come there. He couldn't blow it down. He huffed and puffed. But the house was built strong, built out of bricks. It was built strong. He couldn't get them. That's what we have to do. We got to build our spiritual house strong with the word of God. You see, 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, wait till you turn there, I'll give you an opportunity. My wife gets on me because I go too fast. Now, if I get to preaching, I just go anyway. So, but when I'm teaching, I try to slow down. All right. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. I want to pull that up on my device here and see if I can't get that in another translation and see what it says. Sometimes it gives us a little better idea of what it's saying if we go to another translation. You know, the Message Bible says, so let us not sleepwalk through life like those others. Let us keep our eyes open and be smart. You know, let us not sleep. Now, you got to realize when he's saying sleep, some places sleep means death. Other places it means sleep, just not being aware of what's going on. All right? So here it says, let us not, this one here says sleepwalk. You ever seen anybody sleepwalk? You know, you tell them they did it the next day and they don't even know, they don't remember it. They don't know nothing about it. Anybody know what I'm saying? All right. NLT says, so be on guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert, be clear headed. Now, if there's one thing the enemy tries to do, he tries to confuse your mind. That's why the Bible says to renew our minds with the Word of God. And how does he try to confuse us? He tries to confuse us with people that are teaching things and they're throwing in just enough of the Word of God to make it look good. Oh, y'all looking at me? Either you're listening or you done quit. I don't know which. Hope you're listening. Because that is the way the enemy does. Like I said, he makes things look good. In fact, he knows what the Word of God says. If you go when he was tempting Jesus, he used the Word of God to tempt Jesus. If you ever notice, a lot of these doctrines that are off of the wall, they start out with the Word of God and then they digress off into something else, but they say it's based on the Word. You have to be careful and be diligent. Don't let Satan come in with that. The best defense against Satan that's trying to destroy you is a good offense. A good offense. You know, get aggressive about the things of God. Prayer, reading the Bible, church attendance. So that you're ready when the devil comes to check you out. And don't think that he's not going to come and check you out and find out if you really what you say you are. Now, you may go along for some time. I mean, you may go along for some time. And everything just sort of rolling along. And then all of a sudden, wham, he hits you up beside the head. See, it's when everything is rolling good, and everything's feeling good, and you're saying, woo, hallelujah, glory. And you just sort of relax, let down, and bam, the devil hits you. You know, one of the first things that people start doing when everything's going good and everything's going great is they let down on their church attendance. It's when you come together in church that you're strengthened. You may not realize it, but coming into the house of God with other Christians sitting there with you, there is you get a strength. You draw a strength that you don't even realize you're drawing. You see, and then one of the other things is then, okay, I'll read tomorrow. And the next thing you know, okay, I'm busy today. I'll read triple time tomorrow. Oh, yeah. And the next thing you know, you're not reading at all. And church attendance has dropped from going every time the doors open to once a month. And then after that, once every quarter. If you're not careful, you're going to get some chinks in your armor. And the devil's going to be able to penetrate it. See? Now here's what we got to realize. The devil is always making a lot of noise. Anytime you deal with the devil and his crowd, remember, Jesus has already defeated him. Don't go into the thing thinking I got to defeat him. No, he's already been defeated. You just got to let him know it. He has to understand that you know that he can be beaten. Now, I use my story of the bully in school, and y'all have heard it before, but I'm going to tell it again, okay? Because there might be somebody here that didn't hear it. We had this bully in school when I was in school. Used to, now in school, they pass everybody. It don't make no difference. You get passed anyway. But when I was in school, if you didn't make the grade, you didn't pass. You took the same grade over again. Well, we're in the sixth grade, and this guy, he's 2 years behind down there with us. Of course, he's a little bigger than most all of us, too. And so he was mad at the world anyway because, he's down there, and he's with people that are 2 years younger than him. He should be up, and he's mad. And he walked down the hall, you know, you'd be into your locker, getting a book out of your locker, and he just slammed the locker into your head and kick your feet out from under you. And everybody was. So one day, he had done something to my buddy, Charles. And Charles is one of these boys, he's quiet. He didn't say a whole lot. But when he spoke, you better listen to what he's saying because he ain't going to say it twice. Because the next time, he's going to react. Anybody ever seen those kind of guys? You better be wary of them boys. And so we headed out. I don't know how they have now in school, but we had a morning recess, then we had noon, then we had an afternoon recess, and then we got it. Of course, we stayed till, 4:20, we was in school to 4:30 anyway, so they get out now early, 2:20, I think, some of them get out. So we was going out the door, and he stuck his foot out and tripped Charles. And next thing I know, Charles has knocked him, dove at him, and he hit him in the knees, knocked him down, and jumped right in the middle of him, put both knees on his arms, and he's wailing away, man. I mean, he's chung, chung. And Mr. Thompson, I never forget it. Mr. Thompson, our principal, he ran out there and he said, any of you teachers, any of you girls don't want to see this, just go back into school because I've been looking for somebody. Nowadays, you get in trouble for that, you know. But anyway, and so Charles just whipped him good. Okay, now he comes down the hall. He's still huffing and puffing and slamming lockers. And he come up to me and he slammed my locker. And I had that history book. It was a little bit bigger than this Bible, probably about that much longer and wider and a little bit thicker. And I swung around hard as I could and hit him right square in the back of the head. And I was spinning at the same time. And I hit him hard. And he went down to his knees. And then I kicked him in the seat of the britches and I said, "Don't mess with me. I'll do the same thing to you that Charles did." He said, okay. But do you know what? There were other guys that he would still take their lunch money from them. He would still slam their heads in the locker, kick their feet up and under him. And yet they saw me and they saw Charles. But anybody that would stand up to him, he backed off. Did you know what? That's the way the devil is. He's a bully coward. As long as you let him, he will destroy you. But when you stand up with your right and your privilege of who you are in Christ and say, "Mr. Devil, let me tell you a little secret. You're not going to mess with me because you already been defeated." Hebrews 2:14 says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." Now, Weymouth's translation says he might render inoperative the one having dominion over the death and the devil. That's a Weish translation. Weymouth translation says he might render powerless him that had no authority over death, that is the devil. The Rotherham version said he, Jesus, might paralyze him. And the message said, "The slate wiped clean, the old arrest warrants canceled, nailed to the cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and march them naked through the streets." See, that's what the old kings, when they would go out and they'd defeat another king, they would march him naked through the streets to humiliate him. And they would hit him with whips and they'd spit on him and they'd throw stones at him to humiliate him. The only power that the devil can actually use against you is what you let him. What you allow him to do in your life. Hello? That's Colossians. I read that was Colossians 2:14 and 15. I read it from the New King James. "Having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." In what? In his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what. Actually, whatever you allow him to do, God can't do anything about it. But if you stand up and begin to take authority, then the power of God can work for you. The power of God can't work for you until you stand up and begin to demand something. Open your mouth. Our victory is based on what Christ did at Calvary. You know, the victory was won. We were delivered. Hello. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. You know, a lot of times people are. You know, I mean, you probably, I don't know, some of you have heard him tell it, but my dad tells a story back in, I think it was, what, 56, maybe, somewhere in there, 55, 56, some of that era. He was out in maybe it was before that, because in 55 we went to California. I went to California with him. So it might have been 52, I don't know. Somewhere in that era anyway. And he was out in Los Angeles and he was holding meetings out there. And they've been having really good crowds. And that morning they only had, I think it's three pastors and maybe six people there. So my dad, that's the way he was. He said, if I got 2,000 or 2,000, I'm gonna teach the word. That's the way he was. But they had closed the schools and they were shutting down some of the public places because the flu epidemic was so bad. And that him and the pastor and him and these three other preachers were standing around the piano after the service. And one of the guys was saying, well, I'll tell you, I'm feeling pretty bad. I'm going to go home and get ready to have the flu. And they said, my brother Hagin, you going to keep the meeting going? I said, ain't no, everybody's sick. He said, yep. And they said, well, you might get the flu. He said, no, I ain't going to get the flu. And then one of the pastors said, oh, Brother Hagin, whispered, Brother Hagin, I'd be careful saying that if I was you. The devil might hear you. My dad said, that's the very dude I want to hear me. I want him to know what my rights and my privileges are in Christ. We have the flu going around here. Y'all need to get out the flu injection, the word of God, and start vaccinating yourself against the flu. Me and Lynette did. There's a few little symptoms started to appear just last week. And the devil immediately said in my mind, yeah, it's gonna be bad. You got winter Bible and you're not even gonna be able to go there. I said, don't you mess with me, devil. We both took authority over it. Hello. See, he will destroy you if you let him. Now, he can't take your salvation, but he can destroy all the other stuff. He can destroy you. If you don't claim your protection, he'll come in against you. Anybody getting anything? Yes. Now, you have to have your faith. Your faith is what in God is where it all comes from. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. Not me as the pastor praying. He'll flee from me, for you. You're the one that needs to do the talking. He'll flee from you. What does the word flee mean? Run from, as in terror. Woo! James said, resist the devil and he'll flee from, not the prayer group, not the prayer line, not the pastor, you. You're the one that needs to do something. You've heard me say it before. Dad used to tell me all the time. He said, son, learn how to pray for yourself because nobody cares for you like you do. You know? See, you got to believe in your heart what this word says and then say it with your mouth if you want to get the victory. Never face the devil, your enemy, with your mouth shut. When Jesus was tempted, how did he beat the devil? Did he rebuke him? Did he have a prayer meeting? Did he go into a fast? He spoke. It is written. That's what we have to do. We have to begin to tell the devil what this Bible says. Whatever it is, finances, healing, protection, whatever. We live in Tornado Alley. Y'all have heard me tell it before. But man, the minute I hear them say tornado watch, I start in the name of Jesus. All my house is taken care of. All the property that I own is taken care of. All the property that belongs to Rhema that I have charge of. I don't own it, but I have charge of it. It's protected. Yeah. And I agree with any of my church members that will take authority over their property. Yeah. See, I can't take authority over your property. I don't have that right. But I do have the right to agree with you. And I hope that you're agreeing with Pastor when I say all the church and all of this property will be taken. I hope you're agreeing with me. Hello. And I'll go so far to say, take authority over all of the property of my kids. Because, see, I have a right to do that. I have a right to do that. And I know they're taking authority too because I taught them. See, we need to learn to make more noise than the devil. You know, we start taking authority over ice on our trees at the house. Because I don't want my trees all broke up. I got some nice trees to cover up in front of my house, and I don't want those trees messed up. So when it starts talking about ice, I start commanding that my trees are protected in the name of Jesus. Somebody says, oh, he said, ask in my name, ask the Father in my name, and I'll give it to you. I ask for parking places. See, use our faith. Make more noise than he does. Drown him out. When he gets in your ear, starts talking in your ear, start talking. Make more noise. Take more. See, it's hard to listen when you're talking. It's hard to listen when you talk, when you quoting the word and quoting the word at him, and he's trying to talk in your ear. It's hard for you to hear him when you're quoting the word. And then besides that, if he starts hearing too much word, he has to leave because he can't take it. Somebody said, I plead the blood. So I'm wondering, what does that mean? Well, them old timers knows what it means. It's the blood that defeated him. It's that blood that defeated him. That's what you're doing. You say you're pleading the blood. You said, all right, it's the blood. What freed those Israelites back there in Egypt? The blood on the door. When I see the blood, I pass. Woo! I don't know about y'all. I'm getting excited about this. I'm getting excited about the fact that we have a right to not be destroyed. But it's up to us, not up to God. He's already done everything that he can do. Now it's the ball's in our court. What are we going to do with it? Let us hold fast our profession, or our confession of faith without wavering. For he's faithful. Who's it talking about? God. God is faithful to do whatever he promised. I just changed a little bit. He is faithful that promised. Yeah, he's faithful. He's faithful. God is there for you. His power is available. It's all there. It's all available. All we've got to do is learn how to open our mouth and take advantage of it. Father, in the name of Jesus, talk to these people for a few minutes on that, something that I think is very, very important for us in our daily lives. Help us all to get a hold of this and use it to our advantage. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Everybody stand up. You get something out of this tonight? Yes. I know you've heard something. You know, I preached this way before, but I just want to stir up your pure minds. Get you thinking. And every so often we need to be reminded of these things. Because as we get involved with the affairs of life, the enemy tries to steal that from us too. So there it is. I better stop. Okay. Hey, if you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to find him tonight. We have the ladies over here, the men over here at the end of the service. If you'll come down here, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. If you need to rededicate your life, if you want a no-so experience, you say, I don't know whether I've ever accepted Christ or not. Well, come down and pray with them. If you need prayer for anything, you want the Holy Spirit, you want prayer for healing, you want prayer, somebody agree with you for a job, you want prayer for anything, Come to the front as we're dismissed, and they'll pray with you. Remember, Sunday morning right here, I'll be continuing the subject of financial fitness. Any of you been enjoying our series on financial fitness? We'll be continuing that. And then Sunday night, Winter Bible starts. Hey, look in that book, in that bulletin, and there's a lot of things that we need. We need help with the kids. We need help everywhere. So everybody get involved. Everybody get involved. If everybody gets involved, then nobody has to work that much. All right? Praise God. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let the devil take advantage of me. If you need prayer for salvation, rededication, a no-so experience, Holy Spirit, healing, you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now. Come to the front right now. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday right here.